Welcome to a burning fire. Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. I wish to read to you the entirety of the second chapter of the book of Titus. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober and grave and temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience, that aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet and chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness and gravity and sincerity, sound a speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. It is within these passages that we find the apostolic admonition and teaching that Christians should live godly lives. So much of the New Testament is written to people who have already become Christians. Many passages are intended to inform Christians how to be what they have become, and how to live in this life, and live in a fashion and after a manner that God expects, and that will bring the man eternal blessedness. An emphasis upon proper living now in no way detracts from the theme of life after death and an eternity in heaven. The two worlds are inseparably tied together. This life is the time to prepare for the next. The New Testament enjoins and it encourages, as well as describes and defines, godly living. Chapter 2 in the book of Titus is just such a chapter. Paul wrote to Titus, one who had been converted by Paul, and had been Paul's helper. Titus had been left in Crete as Paul continued on his journeys. And while there, Titus was to strengthen the church and to get it organized according to God's pattern, and also teach brethren sound doctrine, including doctrine related to godly lives. And part of sound doctrine is emphasizing godly living. For doctrine to be sound, it means to be pure and healthy and wholesome and accurate. Doctrine means teaching. Sound doctrine is the teaching of God's Word on any subject that is taught the way God has revealed it. And among the things that Titus was told, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." Such teaching is a part, friend, of the system of grace and the way of salvation. The message was to be taught with authority, verse 15, the authority of God, not the authority of man. The instructions were to different people in different periods of life, in different positions in life. This would include aged men, aged women, younger men, servants. Other passages of Scripture are directed toward parents and children and masters and elders and teachers and preachers. people are not always just exactly alike, nor do they live in exactly the same circumstances. The sound doctrine of Christ, however, is directed toward each one to conform to godly living. Well, what does it mean to be godly? The dictionary defines it as obeying and living and fearing God. It means to be devout and religious and pious. When used as an adverb, it refers to a godly manner. It is not exactly being like God, although one does imitate God when he is godly, but it is more exact in that a godly person sees and discharges his duty. He respects his obligations to God and man, and he does as he ought, at least he tries to be as he ought, and he has a healthy reverence for that which is sacred, realizing that there is indeed oughtness in this life. It is this quality that makes the Christian peculiar or distinctive in this world. The Christian's difference is because of the righteous life that he's determined to live. As surely as godliness is expected, it also produces blessings. At times it may bring hardship, especially at the hands of the ungodly. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 10 through 12, Paul wrote, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, and purpose, and faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, and persecutions, afflictions which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, and Lystra. What persecutions I endure, but out of them all the Lord delivered me." Now notice, Paul said, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." But 1 Timothy chapter 4, 6 through 11 reminds us, "If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe." And again in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 6, "But godliness with contentment is great gain." From Psalms 4 and verse 3, "But know that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him." 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, "The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished." Now our text, the text of Titus chapter 2, is not just one subject. To the aged men, verse 2, he says they are to be sober and grave and temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. And let us make two observations. Soundness is required, not only in the doctrine that is taught, but in the activities of life. Godly living involves attitude, and it involves actions. Sound doctrine, alongside unsound living, is not acceptable before God. And to the aged women, he said likewise, which includes what's already been said, plus behavior that becomes holiness. And that means a demeanor that is reverence, having respect for things noble and holy and sacred and right. Holy and sanctified, things that are set apart, those are synonyms. Those who are holy or sanctified, or those who are set apart from the world of sin, they are set into the service of God. 1 Peter chapter 3 speaks of the manner of holy women. Godly living embraces speech and habits and dress and general conduct. Godly women will not be false accusers. They'll not make false accusations against others, nor will they consume strong drink. Rather, they are to be teachers of the good and noble and praiseworthy things, having lived and learned what is good, informing others, especially younger women, what they have learned. The lives of godly aged women will allow others to benefit from their godly experiences in life. There is so much profit to the young who heed the counsel of the older who are godly. And to the younger women, Paul taught them to be sober and discreet, love their husbands and their children, to be discreet and chaste, and keepers or workers at home, to be good, to be obedient to their husbands. And notice how Paul said that that relates to the domestic responsibilities in conducting the affairs of the home. Friend, those who study the matter and who are not dishonest and prejudiced readily recognize that the breakdown in the home and the failure of women to provide for the home first in their lives is at the tap root of much of the ills of our society. Now, while this may sound to some chauvinistic, it is sound doctrine. It needs to be heard and it needs to be heeded. More and more of this world is recognizing this truth, thankfully. And while the world would have the women who care for the home and the husband and the children to be considered second-class citizens and left out of the real world, God says this is a part of godly living. It is something righteous and noble and exalting. When one washes the dishes or does the housework or cares for children and maintains the home, she is serving God by serving her family and is guilty of putting first things first. That cannot be wrong. We regret that even some women in the church have no respect for the teaching of God along these lines. They prefer the glamorous and the popular, even when it calls them away from their primary labor of love for the Lord and His family. And to the younger men, Paul advised them to be sober-minded. That's the same thing as being discreet. Why is no more said to younger men? Why, it would be redundant to repeat the qualities of godly living to them because of the things He's already said to the former groups. What belongs to those previously taught also applies to them in their particular circumstances. Being sober-minded, it involves being attentive to every duty that one has, whether it be to one's wife, his children, his job, earning a livelihood, paying the bills, obeying the laws, whatever is involved. Many men have so glaringly failed to be godly in their family relationships, and especially in the training of children and the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. There is a false idea that prevails that godly living includes religious showiness, paraded piety that's akin to Phariseeism. Godly living involves prayer. It involves worship and Bible study. It involves working in the vineyard of the Lord. But more than these things, godliness includes the daily discharge of duty, even in the mundane matters, and relationships with others, and the way that we treat other people, and whether the golden rule is found in one's life. Whether words are directed to the young or to the old, to men or women, to servants, masters, boys, girls, parents, children, whoever, godly living involves all of life. It is not simply a Sunday matter. Whatever one does, he is always to remember he's a Christian. And what he does before God as a child of God. He never takes off the Christian hat, so to speak, even though he may wear many other hats in life as well. He is first and last and always a Christian, and his life should show that. Godly living involves a very personal and individual relationship between the Christian and God. It is impossible to regulate and control except by oneself. And while the church must teach godly living, it must discipline the ungodly. It ultimately, whether or not one lives a godly life, depends upon his or her daily decisions and the manner in each moment and each situation in life. May we, friend, by these remarks, be encouraged to godly living, and why? Well, first, the word of God be not blasphemed, verse 5, so that the adversary has no evil to say of us, verse 8. but also that we may adorn, that is, decorate the doctrine of God our Savior. Verse 10. It is not that we can improve on the doctrine, of course, but we may act so as to bring honor and provoke respect for his doctrine. We should live godly lives because of the blessed hope and eventual appearing of Christ. Verse 15. Seeing how he gave himself for us, is it not befitting that our lives should be lived for him? Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let it be said of us, as was written in Colossians 3 and verse 3, your life is hid with Christ. That's a good definition of godly living. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.